Matter of fact, I feel like we need to do something about this. Why don't you just go ahead and stand to your feet for a second? And don't be grumpy about this. We're going to start off the service right. I want you to just begin, even if it's your first time here and you're like, what are these people doing? We're just going to put our focus on the Lord. And in your own way, I want you to just thank the Lord for all that he has done. Just in your own way, thank him and just begin to have an expectation for new. I'll lead you in it. Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you for all that you have done, God. You have been faithful, God. You've been faithful. You've been there the whole time, God. You've been walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death. You've been preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies, God. You've been there. You've been faithful, God. You've been good, God. In the midst of bad, you've been good. You've been faithful. You've been true, God. We trust you, God. You've been with us in the fire, God. You've walked with us through the battles, God. You've been with us, God. You've helped us, God. You've shielded us, God. You've protected us, God. You've protected our family, and we trust you, God. We don't hold a grudge against you. We don't have a bitter heart. We have an open heart, God. We have a childlike heart, God, trusting you. And we thank you, Lord. And we declare in this time of new year, God, that we are wide open to receive the new thing that you will do. We won't be distracted by what's going on around us, God. We'll be dialed into your heart, dialed into your voice. Help us to see, God. Help us to hear, God. Let our antenna pick up the right signal, God. Help us, God. Help us to focus in and keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us hear the preceding word that comes from the mouth of God. Help us, Lord. We know, Holy Spirit, you give strategies in different seasons and for different reasons. And let us not be distracted by the world around us. But we thank you that the new thing that you're doing within us will rise up and spring forth, God. And that we'll be good stewards of it, Lord, for your glory, for your name's sake. And Father, we thank you that we don't even pray for things to change. We pray for us to change. And you make us change agents, God. So we just glorify you, we honor you, and we bless you, and we are ready in Jesus' name. And if that's your heart, say amen.
Amen.
All right, you can sit down. By the way, tonight is starting 10 days of prayer. We really felt like back when we did 50 days of preparation, really felt we were going to do something coming into this season. I didn't know exactly what it was. And then when Shane and Kara and Jim Lewis came and talked about the return, which you can go to return.org and watch videos and get some prayer downloads and some devotionals. If you want to be praying with the church around the world, then you can begin to do that, return.org. But what we're going to do here is tonight is going to be the first night. And listen to me. If I am your pastor and this is your church family, unless you have to work or there's something really, really important you have to do, and being on a hammock is not one of them, you can do that before tonight. I want you to be here tonight. I want you to be here tonight. And I promise you this, we'll be mindful of time. An hour into it, we'll stop the service. And if some crazy folk want to stay around and pray, we'll stay around and pray, and the rest of y'all can go home. But I feel like the Lord last Tuesday night spoke a verse to me and spoke a word to me that I thought I was going to teach on today. I feel like I'm supposed to bring it out through the prayer services and maybe talk about it next Sunday. But it's one of the new things that he's doing. And the new thing is actually a revisiting of an old thing. But I want you to come tonight. There might be some other churches that I've talked to some other pastors and people coming. But for the next 10 days, we're going to join in prayer. Jonas Niehoff is going to be here tonight leading in some worship. And so I want you to come. And then Monday night, I believe, didn't y'all say Monday night that Chris Strong is going to be here on Monday night leading in some worship and pray? So we're going to come pray. We're going to seek the Lord together, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray at every level of our responsibility and sphere of influence, we're going to pray. And I want you to come and I want you to pray. 6:30 tonight. 6:30 tonight. I want you to come. And so it's going to be a good time. I believe the Lord's going to move and do some amazing things. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, it's going to be really, really good stuff. Galatians chapter 3. Let me find it myself. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Hang on a second. Before I go into Galatians chapter 3, this dumb thing's not working. Hey, pull up that first slide. So remember, we've been talking about the five things that God has blessed you to do, but being, the doing comes out of being. I'm not going to go back into all that kind of stuff, but the five things that he's blessed you to do. The reality is in this that it all comes out of Genesis chapter 1. We've talked about this. Genesis chapter 1, the five things. We're not going back into all of them. We've been talking about the blessing of the Lord. But if you remember the blessing of the Lord, it comes out of the real unpacking of that blessing, and the description of what that blessing is really picks up pace in the life of Abraham. We talked about Abraham. Remember, Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. God says, come out of your country, your family, come out of all that stuff. I'm going to pull you out and I'm going to bring you up to my name. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you this name. I'm going to increase you and multiply you and basically send you back so that all the families, not just your family, but that all the families of the earth will be blessed. That God told Abraham in Genesis 12, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. At the end of Abraham's life, it says that we talked about this last week, that God had blessed Abraham in how many things? All things. And that's a blueprint, y'all. It's a blueprint for what God wants to do in our life, that he wants to bless us in all things. So that Abraham is a foreshadow to Christ. And when we look at Galatians 3, and I know we read this last week, but it is so good. And I pray this is nothing but a reminder to everybody in this house. I pray it's a reminder, because this is really, really good scripture. Galatians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. The tree is talking about the cross. Why? That the blessing of Abraham. Remember, Abraham's blessed to be a blessing, and he was blessed in all things. That means he's to be a blessing in all things. What you are blessed in is what you're to be a blessing in. So Abraham was blessed in all things to be a blessing in all things. And the same is true for you. God wants to bless you in all things so that you can be a blessing in all things. And if anybody really believes that, say amen. Amen. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That means the non-Jewish, the people who are not of Jewish or Hebrew bloodline descent. So come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it's only a man's covenant, yet if it's confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So we should know this, that God made promises to Abraham, and it wasn't Abraham and his children. It wasn't Abraham and his seed. It was Abraham and his seed, one seed, singular seed. So God made promises to Abraham to get promises to Christ, Jesus. And so Christ Jesus stepped into those covenant promises. As he stepped into those covenant promises, it says down in Galatians 3:29, look down at verse 29, skip all the way over to 29, and I promise you the rest of that's good when I'm skipping. That if you are Christ, if you are Christ, if you have given your life to Christ, then everything that God promised to Abraham, which is promised to Jesus Christ, if I'm in Christ, what God promised to Abraham is now promised to me. Amen. That now the call of Abraham is my call. Get out of your country. Get out of your father's house. Get away from your family. Not because they're evil and bad. It's God's not wanting you to hate them and all that kind of stuff. He's wanting to pull you out to show you who he made you to be. Because sometimes your heritage, your earthly heritage, will distort you from your heavenly heritage. And so the whole reality is God using Abraham as a blueprint, leading us forward to Christ. But when we step into Christ, we have those realities and we need to believe the Lord the same way Abraham believed the Lord. We need to trust the Lord the same way Abraham trusted the Lord, that our life becomes an example. Our life becomes a blueprint to the people in our world. That this, too many people in the world look at the people in a church and think, I don't want that. You act just like me, but you claim another name, but you cuss just like me. You claim another name, you do something else on Sunday, but the rest of the week, you just like me. And so the reality is that we should come up to our reality in Christ. We should walk in the blessing of the Lord and come up to all that he has given us, these promises, and begin to yield ourselves to God with a heart of submission and a heart of surrender to come and to stand, you know, before him and walk in this. And so as I think about this, I think about Ephesians chapter 1. Look real quick at Ephesians chapter 1. I love Ephesians chapter 1. I got a few scriptures I'm going to show it to you and show you, and then I'm going to land on the one thing you need to do in order to walk in the blessing of the Lord. But before I get there, look at Ephesians 1. All right, does somebody remove Ephesians from my Bible? No, here it is. All right. So Ephesians 1, this whole thing's good. Ephesians 1, starting in we'll just read verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3, when you got it, say got it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many? All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So we have been blessed. If we have, the moment you make a decision to follow Jesus and surrender your life to Jesus, you step into Christ and Christ steps into you. And when that happens, you immediately become a partaker of all the promises that God made to Abraham are now made to you in Christ. And the blessing of the Lord is yours in seed form. Not in harvest form. You have every seed you need to walk in the blessing of the Lord. Didn't it say every? So in Christ, he has blessed us, meaning he has bestowed upon us. He has bestowed upon us the seed we need, but it's in seed form, not in harvest form. So like when I get hungry and I'm I don't know if y'all, does anybody growl when you get hungry? Grunt a little bit. You know, my dad used to do this. My dad used to sit there in a chair and he would just grunt. And I guess it was a code or something. I didn't speak grunt, but my dad did. And my mom, she's such a faithful servant. She loved my dad so much. She would gracefully and just full of love get up, go cook a meal, come back and bring a tray and set it right on his grunting lap. And so I tried that. She looked at me like I was crazy. So don't go home and try that, guys. Don't go home because I tried that with Sarah. And actually, Sarah brought me a tray. She knew what I was doing. But, you know, imagine the time you're sitting there and you're hungry. And I'm like, and I try to like grunt it out like steak. And you grunt and you're like, you're hungry. But that stuff is frozen in the freezer. See, that's seed form. That's seed form, and I'm wanting a steak on my plate, on my lap right now. That's why I'm grunting. I'm hungry. And so I'm like, oh, somebody's got to bring me the steak. But it's in seed form in the freezer. And instead of waiting on someone to come do something for me, I have the capacity in Christ to realize I read my Bible. My Bible is the menu telling me what's in the freezer. My Bible's the menu. Here's what I have in Christ. Well, I don't feel like I have it because you ain't by the freezer. Amen. You sitting out grunting, looking at your plate. Why ain't nothing on my plate? Because it's still in the freezer. But it's yours. It's yours. You got access to it. The Bible's the menu telling you, here's what's in the freezer. Lord, I thank you for the T-bone steak in the freezer. I thank you for the ribeye in the freezer. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go cultivate that joker. I'm going to go cook that thing up. I'm not going to wait for somebody else. I'm not going to grunt until the Holy Spirit comes and cooks my food for me. I'm going to go receive the seed that's in the freezer, put it up on the grill of my soul, and let the flame of my faith cook that thing. So I can taste and see that the Lord is. Instead of sitting back hungry, waiting on God, well, how come you don't give me nothing? He's like, I did. Why are you asking me to give you something I already gave you? Oh, you want me to cook it for you? You want me to feed it to you too? Here comes the angel, open the mouth. No, we got to be grown up about it. We got to begin to take the word. We got to begin to believe what God says about us. And this blessing of the Lord that is in seed form, we've got to bring it into meat form, into bread form, into harvest. We've got to plant it inside of us. So we have it in the silo of our grain bin or however. I don't know how farmers do all that stuff, but we have the seed. We got to sow it into our soul. It's a spiritual seed that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing that God wants you to operate in. He's already given it to you. So stop asking for God to give you what he's already given you. And ask for the wisdom and the courage for you to step up and say, I'm going to plant the thing that he's given me. Because Lord, I thank you that I'm blessed. Even though my plate might be empty, my freezer is full. And you're teaching me how to cook. And putting that, what's that sauce? Dale sauce, Bob sauce? Whose sauce is it? Dale sauce. Whoo! If y'all ain't had Dale sauce, it'll make you speak in tongues all by itself. It's good stuff. Put some Dale sauce on there. I'd put that on peanut butter and jelly if I could. That's just good, good stuff. Hey, look with me, two other sections of scripture. Look with me in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. I love hearing your Bible pages turn. And if you got a phone and you're like, just make a sound like, oh, shoo, 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 something. We need an app that makes it sound like your Bible pages is turning. So the blessing of the Lord is so important in these days. Sometimes we've learned the phrase, we hear a phrase like the blessing of the Lord and we compartmentalize it into certain aspects of our life. And then, people talking about the blessing. We don't need to talk. We need to be humble. No, it's the blessing of the Lord. We need to understand that this is why Jesus died on the cross. To bless us. He didn't die on the cross to tame you. He didn't die on the cross to just, he loves you and he there's a purpose in what he's done. He took the curse to release the blessing. But the blessing is not for you. The blessing of the Lord on your life is not for you. It's for others because he's blessed you to be a blessing. So he wants to bless you in all things so you can be a blessing in all things. But the blessing of the Lord is so important in our life. And so here's a great description in the Bible about the blessing of the Lord. And if you've never read this, I encourage you to go back and look at it. Deuteronomy 28, let's just look at this. Now it shall, verse 1, now it shall come to pass that if you diligently obey. Now check this out. Y'all who've been here, you're going to know this. That word obey is the Hebrew word shema. And the Hebrew word shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and all other a lot of other places in the Old Testament. It's what Jesus was saying when he was quoting the great commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the great commandment. Well, the first part of the great commandment is not love. The first part of the great commandment is hear. And that word hear is Shema. It's the Hebrew word Shema. It means to hear, understand, and obey. That's what it means. So, and so we have the issue because we're in such a place sometimes in America that I'll hear you, but here's what hear means to us. I'll hear you, and if I like what you're saying, I might consider obeying it. But the Hebrew definition of hear is whatever you say, I'm going to obey because of the one who's saying it. So, Lord, you say it. I'm not going to sit here and agree or disagree with you or disagree with you and have a debate about it. You're God. You're the Lord our God. And you're the only true and living God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here's the deal. You speak, I listen. And I listen to the point of action. That's what he's saying here. It's to hear all the way to the point of action. This word obey is Shema. It's hearing, understanding, and obeying. So that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe, that means to keep. So observe and obey are really close to the same word. It means to keep that Shema heart, keep that promise and that word, keep it on the forefront, keeping this word in the forefront, not letting it get pushed away, not letting it get sidetracked, not letting it get replaced by lesser words. But keeping the word of the Lord primary in my life. So we observe and carefully keep his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and that all these blessings, everybody say blessings, it's plural, blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. What means that what's going to be in your freezer is now going to come out into your table. All these blessings are going to come upon you and overtake you because God loves you and you're precious. Because you're in need. Because you're complaining to God. Because you're better than somebody else. No, because you Shema the Lord our God. You hear, understand, and obey. You look at the menu, taste in the meat, and you're willing to cook it up. So the blessing of the Lord shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord our God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and of your offspring, and of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. Now, somebody tell me, why is that going to happen? Because we do what? Obey. The Lord will command, look at that, command. What's in your freezer? I command it to come out. What I've already given you in seed form, I command it to take action. What I've already said yes to in your life, all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. And when we walk in obedience, he will command that steak to get up on that grill. He'll command the blessing in our life. Well, Pastor John, what about seasons of difficulty? Yeah, we're going to have battle. We're going to have pressure. We're going to have persecution. We're going to live in all that stuff. We're going to be persecuted just because of the blessing. We're going to face battles and struggles and all that. But through it all, he's going to command the blessing upon our life and strengthen us and help us. Not so that we're blessed. Listen to me. Not so that we're blessed. So we can be a blessing. Now listen to me. This is why discipleship is so important, because if I had to sum up discipleship, it would be teaching people how to hear, understand, and obey the word of the Lord. And if you want all that Jesus died to give you, you're going to have to live a lifestyle of hearing, understanding, and obeying the word of the Lord. And that's what discipleship is about. Saying, here's where I was. Here's when I met Jesus. This is what Jesus done in my life. This is what I heard. This is what I understood. This is what I obeyed. And this is what happened. And here's what the enemy tried to do, but here's what God did. And he wants to do it in you. That's why discipleship is so important. That's why for me, I've been repenting about, Lord, I want my life to be about making disciples. I'm telling you, I want my life to be about this. And if there's anything that the church needs to repent for, in my opinion, it's that we've not been passionate about making disciples. Handful of people I've talked to have said, man, if you take your passion for your political stuff right now and you turn it to making disciples, this world will be a different place. Don't say anything out loud, might get you in trouble. Don't say anything out loud, bite your tongue. But some of you, would you disciple a Democrat? Would you disciple a Republican? And if your answer is no, you're messed up. You've drank the Kool-Aid. If I'm going to lift my voice, I ain't going to waste my breath saying Biden or Trump. I'm going to say Jesus. Problem is, if you've equated Biden or Trump with Jesus. I know, I'm probably going to have to find a new church to go to. But I'm telling you, we're here to lift his name up. Am I saying the election is not important? No. All that stuff, it's important. All that stuff. We need to listen to Jesus. Matter of fact, now is a good time for me to tell you how to vote. Now is a really good time for me to tell you how to vote. I ain't going to tell you who to vote for. I'm going to tell you how to vote. You seek the Lord. If you're a disciple of Christ, you need to vote like a disciple of Christ. You need to seek the Lord. We need to stand. We need to stand in our heavenly citizenship as we steward our earthly citizenship. You need to seek out the policies that the parties are doing. Don't look at the personalities. I'm telling you right now, you can't do it. You have to see what they're, you have to look at their word. You have to look at the word. What are they promised? What is their policy? This is the policy of the kingdom of God, the government of God. You can read his policy and understand what the king's agenda is. You don't need to let, if your information comes from news media and sound bites, any kind of media, you are misinformed. You need to go to the party's page. Don't go to somebody else's version of the, if you're going to read about what the Democratic Party is about, don't go to a Trump website to read the Democratic Party and vice versa. Go look at what they say. Go to the horse's mouth. Go look at what they say and look at it just like you look at your Bible. I'm not saying they're as inspired, but look at it. It is written. Go look at it. What if somebody came to you, I don't really know if I can believe God because I just feel like he's mean. You would say, go to the word. So I'm telling you, seek the Lord to help you have the right eyes to go to the policies. Go to the paper. And then you humble yourself. And you submit your perspective to his purpose. And you seek the Lord. And here's this really simple. You vote for who Jesus leads you to vote for. Because when you stand before the Lord and you voted after reading the policy and seeing, does this policy line up with this policy? you will give an account for your vote. You'll give an account for your vote. That's not a pressure of, oh my gosh, who do I vote for? No, it's just, I'm going to seek the Lord. And it's going to be according to what is written. I'm going to seek the Lord. And if he's my king, then I have no other option but to vote who he says. No other option. So you need to seek the Lord. You need to search the policy, search what is written, humble yourself, submit yourself and say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm submitted to you. My preference is surrender to your purpose. And then you go vote. And then here's the biggest, most important thing of all, most important thing of all, most important thing of all. After you vote, go make disciples. The greatest vote you have is what you do with your everyday life. Go make disciples. And let the blessing of the Lord, which I didn't get finished with all that stuff, the blessing of the Lord come upon you. So and come through you, that you would be blessed to be a blessing to somebody else. And so let me show you how to do that. If you can focus on, you can walk, I'm telling you, you can experience and you can walk in the blessing of the Lord if you will focus on one thing. One thing. And that one thing, this morning, I could show you more, but this morning I'm going to show you one thing in four different scriptures. And they're all begin with chapter one of that book. The first one is Joshua chapter one. That this word of the Lord, this law of God, this word of God shall not depart from your mouth. And you shall meditate it in your heart. Meditate upon it in your heart day and night. That you may be careful to observe, which means obey all of it in all your actions. So the word of God goes into your mouth, it goes into your mind and in your heart, and it shows up in your actions. That you, when you do that, Joshua 1, chapter 8, when you do that, you will make your way prosperous. That means you will, man, I got a ribeye in the freezer. I'm sitting here hungry, chewing on some Pringles, and I could have a ribeye. I will put God's word in my mouth as I'm walking to my freezer, in order to cook up what the Lord has given me so I can taste and see that he's good, I will take responsibility to the promises of God and the blessings of God upon my life. When you or I sin, we are being irresponsible with the promises that God has given us. And we are taking a false responsibility to the lies of the enemy, and we are seeking a false source, a false food, thinking that satisfies us, but that doesn't satisfy us. The Lord doesn't want us eating out of that refrigerator. He doesn't want us eating out of that mess. He's given you something good to eat. And we need to be willing to put his word in our mouth. Say what God says. Don't say what everybody else is saying. Say what God says. With God's heart. And then put that in your life. Be a doer of the word. Jesus said this in John chapter 13. He said, blessed are you, you know these things. Blessed are you if you do them. So you will make your way prosperous and have good success, the Bible says. You will. You will. By putting God's word in your mouth, your mind, and in your heart. Psalm 1 is the next one. It's all chapter 1s. First one is Joshua chapter 1. Second one is Psalm chapter 1. 1 through verse 3. You can go read it on your own. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. See, that's a process downward. You walk in the counsel of the ungodly, it's going to lead you to a place where sinners hang out because they followed the same counsel you did. And then they're going to get all mad about where they're at because this ain't what the Lord has for us. And so then they're going to end up just sitting down being scornful. You ever met scornful people? Critical people, just overly critical people, negative people. They always see the glass half empty. They always see the worst. They see, you know, I like being with people of faith, that everything is an opportunity for the Lord to work. You ever been around people like that, people of faith? You come in, man, I just got laid off. Praise the Lord, you're going to find a new job. The Lord's doing a new thing in you. Sometimes you get mad at those kind of people. But you got to realize you have what you need. The Lord is not surprised by, oh, you lost your job. Oh, my goodness. If you seek the Lord, you put his word in your mouth, you're going to make your way prosperous and have good success. But if you keep on being a victim and you keep on being like, oh, keep blaming other people and keep, then you're going to keep having more of the same. So this man's delight is in the law of the Lord. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1 is the next one. Isaiah 1, verse 19. If you are willing and obedient. And that's the same word in Shema. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You'll eat the good of the land. And the last one is James chapter 1. And you know it talks about the whole chapter is really good, James chapter 1. But like verse 25 is where it says, don't be a hearer only of the word. Be a doer. Because the man who does the word of God, who looks into that perfect law of liberty, and then he doesn't forget. He's not a forgetful hearer, but he does it. He takes action. He's obedient. That man will be blessed in what he does. How do you experience the blessing of the Lord? Obedience. Obedience. Yeah, but I just don't know if I agree with it. Or I don't know. Obedience. Obedience unlocks the blessing. Let me say it in a way that I feel like saying it this morning. And I think I know what we're probably going to be doing for lunch, by the way. Obedience is what makes that steak perfectly seasoned from your freezer to your plate. Obedience. If you don't like what you've been eating, go back to the menu, go back to the freezer, and start cooking the Lord's way. Your greatest privilege in life, and worship team, come on up, your greatest privilege in life is not only to know the Lord, to be pulled out from your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to be brought into his kingdom, into his family, and be called by the Father's name. And then be sent and used to represent him in all the earth. And your obedience will unlock the blessing. As I sat there and talked with Wayne Batts yesterday, Sarah and I, we were talking with him, laughing with him, and weeping with him. And we just sat there and we're praying for him and just having a good time with him. You can't help but walk away from stuff. See, as a pastor, you have times like this. You're times at somebody's deathbed. You turn right around, same afternoon, we're doing a wedding. And I've had it many times in one day at a deathbed, a wedding, and going to a hospital to welcome a new baby into the world. And the emotional stuff is so all over the place. But as you sit there and you watch this man of God whose country is all get out, who when I do his funeral, I promise you, I'm going to find me a camouflage shirt. That you just look and think, this man, this body, he's going to be given his final breath to the Lord anytime. Having the confidence in that time to know, I've been obedient to the Lord. Not I've been perfect and I've done everything just right, but I've been a person who had a hearing heart. And I can look back over my life and I've been obedient. I've been blessed to be a blessing. And what the Lord has done through me, here's the greatest thing. What the Lord has done through me is going to continue in the earth even after I'm gone. Because the blessing of the Lord in your life will outlive your life. or the curse of the enemy that's in your life will outlive your life. I want to release the blessing. Because even through a storm, even through an attack, if I got the blessing of the Lord, I'm good. But if I've got the curse of the Lord, a curse of the enemy, curse of darkness, because I open the door to the devil. One of the most confused people is someone who's received the blessing of the Lord, meaning they're blessed in the sense of their fridge and their freezer is full, yet they live as if it was empty. Because when we sin, we open the door to the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And so it's possible for two things. It's possible to be blessed positionally, like you have the access to walk in obedience, but you choose not to, and you choose to live in disobedience. And that's a sad Christian right there. And that's a complete misrepresentation of who God is. And then you got other people who are living under the darkness of the curse, but yet they have some blessings from time to time. But yet the blessings, they never really can enjoy their money. They never can really enjoy all that they have because there's always that curse underneath it. I want the blessing of the Lord. I want to walk in obedience to Christ. And what I believe our nation and our world needs right now is to see disciples making disciples who hear, understand, and obey, that are blessed to be a blessing. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet. The Lord's doing a new thing. And I want the altar team to go ahead and come on up. We have a team of people here that are here to pray for you. And I want them to come stand up around here. Guys, they've had their rabies shots. They're good. You can come receive prayer anytime during worship. They're standing up here. You can come receive prayer for any reason. Sickness attacking your body, you can come receive prayer. Struggle going on in your family, you can come receive prayer. Don't know what to do about employment, you can come receive prayer. Whoever you are, even if it's your first time in this building, we want you to come and receive prayer. You can come to the altar and just kneel, and we'll just let you have some time with Jesus. But as we worship, we have the word first and worship second, so that we can take that word and minister it down deep in our heart. So not only can you come and receive prayer, but if you have a word or somebody's highlighted to you in the group this morning, I want you to, as we worship, I want you to go to them. I want you to go and say, I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you, or I feel like I'm supposed to share this with you. I want you to be obedient and step out and do that. And if there's anyone here that you're like, look, I've been running from the Lord. I've been doing my own thing, but I know I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to quit being dumb and quit doing my own thing. And I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Whether it's surrendering your life to Jesus for the very first time or giving your life back to Jesus for the 31st time. Humble yourself and come. Everybody in this room would celebrate your courage to surrender your life to Jesus and to start learning what it means to live from the menu of the Word of God. Feeding on His Word, learning how to hear and how to understand and how to obey the Word of the Lord. Because the obedience is what unlocks the blessing of the Lord in your life. It empowers you to be a blessing for somebody else. So as we go into this time of worship, we're not going to sing this morning. I don't feel like we're supposed to sing the song I Have Decided, even though I love that song. I don't feel like we're supposed to do that this morning. We're going to seek the Lord. And in this time of worship, I don't want you to just be like, I want you to seek the Lord. I want you to open your heart and let the word sink in. If you need prayer, you come. So I want to pray over you. And if you need to give your life to Jesus, you come and tell somebody, I need to give my life to Jesus. If you need to give your life back to Jesus, you come tell somebody. I don't want to tell nobody. Well, that's your problem. You need to. You need to humble yourself. And then tonight we'll be here at 6:30. And people ask me, they still ask me, every week they ask me, what about the offering, Pastor? You forgot the offering. I have not forgotten the offering. There are two, when you walk out either door, there's slots. You can give your tithes and offering as you walk out, as you come in or as you go out. So, Father, I just thank you. As we worship you and as we set our hearts towards you and put our focus upon you, Holy Spirit, I ask you to move through every seat, move through every heart. And I pray for there to be a removal of every form of darkness and curse that has latched itself to any person in this room. I pray there's like a Spirit of God pry bar that will lift that up. Let there be a lifting of that burden so that they can hear and sense the peace of God and the joy of the Lord and the word of the Lord. And Father, I pray by a spirit of reminding us that you would speak promises, remind your people of their promises. And Father, we pray the new thing would spring forth, that as we worship God, the old would be shaken off, the new would rise up, God, almost like a shedding of our skin, God, that we would just step into a new season, God. We'd step into a new time, and that the blessing of the Lord would come upon us and overtake us and overflow creative ideas, wisdom to solve problems. God, that you'd give creativity to your people as we worship, God, that your word would go to work, that your spirit would go to work, God, that things would shift and things would change, that you would speak to your people. And if we need to repent, God, we pray that Holy Spirit, you help us repent fully, help us surrender completely, help us to just be broken before you, that we could have a broken and a contrite heart, God. May all pride be destroyed. Amen. May all pride and self-seeking be destroyed. Yes. And we pray that there is a crumbling of pride, a crumbling of arrogance, a crumbling of self-sufficiency. And Lord, help all of us yield to you in a fresh and new way, God. Help all of us surrender to you, God. And let the new thing burst forth. Let it spring forth, God. And let the rivers of it hit every dry place in our land. And let your redemption take hold. So, Father, we bless you, we honor you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name.